Yeah, I mean, to put it in context relative to my life, so the Art of Learning ends with the 2004 World Championship. It ends with me describing the narrative of that. It was just absolutely harrowing, crazy experience. I won't give the punchline, but it was really intense. And after this, I decided I wanted to be a beginner again, to put on a white belt, literally and figuratively. And so I took on this third major mountain in my life, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I was training out in the West Coast for about a year when I was actually writing The Art of Learning. I was training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu twice a day. This was after I'd spent 5 years taking notes. Then I had the 2004 Worlds, then I was writing it. I started training with John Machado out there. Then I came back to New York. I started training with Marcos Santos here, and I started develop this relationship with Marcelo, who is just the greatest grappler to ever live. And we were doing a lot of private lessons. We developed a friendship. Then he moved to Florida, and I would travel to Florida to work with him. And ultimately, I made the decision I wanted to bring him to New York, mostly because I was at that point planning to make a run for the world championship in this art, and there was no better way to do it than to get my ass kicked by the very best to ever live in the sport. He's just a wonderful guy, and he's just unbelievable martial artist. And so we opened up the school together, and I've been on the mats with him, you know, other than when one of us has been injured, and it's been a lot of injuries in these sports just all the time. And it's been a fascinating experience. I mean, Marcelo is so profoundly different from me. I'm a really conceptual guy. I think abstractly. Of course, my foundation in chess. Marcelo is one of the most, well, he's the most kinesthetically overdeveloped person I've ever met. And of course, overdevelopment and underdevelopment tend to come hand in hand conceptually.
Can you give me an example of that? What would be an example?
Of overdevelopment and underdevelopment?
Of kinesthetic, what it means to be kinesthetically.
His physical intelligence is mind-boggling. I mean, when he'd come fishing with me, you throw him on a stand-up paddleboard in 3-foot chop, and everyone just flies off of paddleboards when they just stand up on them, and he's just beautiful. I mean, he just finds the balance points. I mean, I've never seen someone learn so quickly how to handle waves, boats, handling fishing lines, being, you know, free diving, being on riding waves on paddleboards. You know, when you're in the marsh, I've been a stand-up fighter for many years. I mean, throwing is my core art. When I'm doing stand-up training with Marcelo, I caught him with most of the throws in my repertoire one time. I don't think I've ever caught him with a throw twice.
Wow.
Which is amazing. I have guys who were world-class who I was training with. You know, I catch them thousands of times. This is a guy, you almost never see Marcelo get caught more than once with something. And it's amazing to see how he relates to the world through his kinesthetic intelligence. So, for example, when we were looking for spaces for our school, we'd walk into a big room and I'd be thinking about the dimensions, you know, square footage, where this would be, where that would be. Marcelo would know if it felt good or felt bad.
Yep.
If he meets you, he's going to know whether he feels good about you or he feels bad about you. And his intuition is incredibly dead on, but he navigates the world through this kinesthetic intelligence.
Yeah.
And it's been a really fascinating having the school with him and diving deep with him, because we've been having conceptual dialogue for these 3.5 years or so, and he's really deepened conceptually.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned even more deeply the importance of the lesson that there are many paths to greatness. And to take a guy like Marcelo and to try to fit him into a chess player's, you know, hyper-conceptual mold would be terrible.
Yes.
Because he's killing his shine. And he is so great because of his just unbelievable commitment to doing it his way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done things in extraordinary ways. I mean, for example, you know how in these competitive arts, everyone's very secretive about their repertoires.
Yeah.
Well, we have this program, which you know well, called MG in Action, where people, jiu-jitsu guys from around the world, log in to watch all of Marcelo's training sessions, his sparring sessions, his lessons, everything. When he was competing in Abu Dhabi Submission Grappling World Championship and Munjals, which is the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu World Championship, mm-hmm. we were streaming his sparring sessions every night. So he was basically showing his competitors what he was about to use against them in 2 weeks and 3 weeks and 4 weeks. And his attitude about this, which is completely unique, is if you're studying my game, you're entering my game, and I'll be better at it than you. So simple, so pure, and if you think about it, it's really deep.
Yeah.
The opposite of what most chess players would do, and most jiu-jitsu guys would do. And so he's wide open to constant learning. And the other beautiful thing about Marcelo is, you know, people call him the king of scrambles. And if you watch his training style, he's always in transition, which is a really interesting idea to think about in a cross-disciplinary manner. because most people get their egos involved in their training and they're trying to dominate all the time. And to dominate in almost anything, you find a position of dominance and you keep it. But Marcelo always lets his opponents move, and so he's constantly playing in transition. And so if you think about what world-class martial arts means, and you brought up, for example, Maurice Ashley and playing chess in Washington Square, it's similar. If you're at a much higher level than someone, you can always seem mystical because you're doing things which are outside of their conceptual scheme. The way that operates in the martial arts is, if you think about it through the lens of frames, right? If you and I are looking at a position, and in your mind, there's this position leads to this position leads to this position. So there's three positions. In my mind, if I'm constantly training at the transitions between these positions, these actually expand into these transitional frames, become positions to me. And so if I'm seeing 100 positions when you're seeing, say, two, then I can play in your blind spots and it can seem mystical to you because you haven't trained there. And that's what Marcelo does. By spending all of his time in transition, he's cultivated the art to play in the in-between, which is really what level is all about, or one of the core things that highlight that world-class martial arts is all about, playing in transition,
yep,
in gaps that, you know, in your opponent's sight pattern.